At the end of each month, we check in with Great Lakes commentator and journalist Gary Wilson for updates on environmental stories from around the basin. For today's Great Lakes Month in Review, we're focusing on the Toledo water crisis, which was in the news for several weeks this month and could be again. Gary Wilson, welcome back to Current State.
Hey, Mark. Always good to be with you.
For many of our listeners who may have been on vacation and missed this story earlier this month, summarize for us what happened in Lake Erie to affect the water in Toledo and some Michigan communities.
Sure, Mark. It's the algae blooms. Algae blooms have been prevalent in Lake Erie and in other places around the Great Lakes, but Lake Erie is the prime area. Algae blooms got pushed by winds into the intake pipe that brings water to Toledo and also into southeastern Michigan. Testing revealed higher than permitted levels of microcystis, and they had to shut the system down. No drinking water. And you can't even boil it because boiling it just exacerbates the problem. So a total of about 500,000 people, mostly in the greater Toledo area, and I think about 30,000 in southeastern Michigan, were without water for 3 days. So you can imagine the havoc that caused. People were driving 100 miles or so just to get bottled water, and of course, people aren't happy. So that was a big story, big national story, international coverage, and really should be a wake-up call for this region.
How did the algae bloom develop?
There are a number of causes for the algae problems, Mark. The agricultural runoff, phosphorus, primarily coming off the farmland into the Maumee and into Lake Erie. This has been developing for a number of years. And it just keeps getting worse, and unfortunately, we haven't been able to do much about it or had the will to do much about it. So, and it's not going to go away quickly.
Great Lakes journalist Gary Wilson is our guest on our monthly Great Lakes Month in Review segment. Gary, this may seem like kind of a stupid question, but some of us remember years ago, back in the 1970s, the moves to ban phosphates in consumer products like laundry detergent. Wasn't that supposed to keep this kind of thing, the algae blooms, from happening?
No, the phosphates in the laundry products, that was the first cause of algae, and they finally had to regulate the products that it kept those phosphates out of the Great Lakes. But this is primarily from fertilizer. The phosphorus in fertilizer runs off into the waterways. There are contributing factors, the outflow of sewage from the Detroit River that works its way down into western Lake Erie is a contributor, but I think there's general consensus that it's primarily the agricultural runoff, and what we're going to do about it remains to be seen. The community is split. Do you continue to rely on farmers to use what they call best practices, or do you regulate it? Just do what we did with phosphates, regulate the commodity and see if that will fix it. There's a big divide there on that issue.
So we're now at sort of the post-mortem stage. Talk about the responses to the algae problem from environmental organizations and governments and agricultural interests.
Sure, Mark, and this is where I think it gets really important. I closely monitored the responses, and I was disappointed. This was a major event, 500,000 people without water for 3 days, and this was a failure for the Great Lakes region. This region has been fighting for a number of years and with some success to sort of reposition itself as land with water. We're talking about the blue economy. And then all of a sudden this happens where you've got 500,000 people without water because we haven't taken very good care of it. The responses, like I said, were disappointing. Farm bureaus in Ohio and Michigan were very quick to come out with statements about all the things that they're doing. Government officials were quick to talk about some things that they had done in the past, some legislation that had passed. And rather than people pausing and not immediately getting defensive and relying on talking points, I was hoping for some reflection, and it just didn't happen. And you know, I've got a couple of examples in Michigan where that's what we saw. One's with an environmental group, the Nature Conservancy, and the other was, I spoke yesterday with the Michigan Department of Agriculture's Jamie Culver Adams, and she's the director there, and her points were pretty much on what I was saying, on target, that here's what Michigan's doing, and we don't need to be regulated, and I just don't know that that's a good starting point for this problem. In the Nature Conservancy, I talked with Dennis McGrath at the Nature Conservancy. He's the director of their Great Lakes Project, and he wanted to set aside the debate about whether we regulate or whether we rely on voluntary measures. And I just don't know how you can do that. That is the issue.
And aren't some experts saying this may not even be the last time it happens this summer?
We're not even to the peak algae bloom season yet, Mark. Usually it's in late August, which is just about now, and into September. We may not even be out of the woods for this year, let alone for some number of years.
So what do you think happens next?
I don't know. People are, there are a lot of meetings. Legislators in Ohio held hearings. Legislators like to have hearings. There's an environmental coalition of Great Lakes groups. They've really asked for some strong measures. But I can assure you that there's a lot of discussion, a lot of public discussion, but there's a lot of discussion behind closed doors where people are, hopefully they're having honest discussions. But when you have a city the size of Toledo without water for 3 days, the memory of that's not going to go away quickly. So I think we're at crunch time. People are going to have to start taking this issue seriously. Because I don't think citizens in the region will stand for much more of this without people being without water.
Gary Wilson is a Great Lakes commentator and journalist. Gary, thanks for your time.
Always good to be with you, Mark.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.